Welcome! This is Act for Missouri, and today we're walking through a popular argument for H.J.R. 173, the constitutional amendment on Missouri's November 2026 ballot that would phase out the state income tax and authorize new sales taxes on services not currently taxed. The argument we're addressing has been making the rounds on social media and in conversations with constituents. It's also being shared by several state legislators. It goes like this. When you buy a pound of ham at the grocery store, you pay a small consumption tax at the register, 6 to 8 cents maybe. You see it, you know it, it's done. But the income tax? The argument says the income tax is already in the price of that ham. The hog farmer paid income tax. So did the banker who financed his operation. The veterinarian who kept the herd healthy. The accountant who filed the taxes. The truck driver who hauled the meat. The packing plant workers, the grocery store employees. Every person in that supply chain paid income tax, and all of those tax costs got baked into the price of ham before it ever hit the shelf. The conclusion? The income tax is already in the ham, dozens of times over. You just can't see it. Switching to a consumption tax just makes a hidden tax visible. The consumption tax is honest. The income tax is hidden, and you're paying it whether you know it or not. It's a vivid argument. It's rhetorically powerful, and the economics behind it has a kernel of truth. Public finance research has documented for decades that taxes paid throughout supply chains do get factored into business costs, which feed into prices. Economists call this tax incidence, the difference between who legally writes the check for a tax and who actually bears the economic cost. Some portion of business and individual income taxes does flow through to consumer prices. We're not disputing that. But the leap from some income tax is embedded in prices to switching to a consumption tax just makes that hidden tax visible requires several things to be true that aren't. In this analysis, we'll walk through five things the argument leaves out. Once you put them back in, the same pound of ham tells a very different story. Number 1. H.J.R. 173 only eliminates a small slice of the tax that's in the ham. The argument lists everyone in the supply chain: the farmer, the banker, the veterinarian, the accountant, the truck driver, the packing plant workers, the grocery store employees, and says they all paid income tax that's now in the price of ham. That's true. But every one of those people is paying multiple taxes, and H.J.R. 173 only eliminates one of them, Missouri's state personal income tax. Everyone in that supply chain still pays federal income tax, somewhere between 10 and 37%, often a larger share of their tax burden than state income tax. They still pay federal payroll taxes, a combined 15.3% for Social Security and Medicare, with half visible on the paycheck and half hidden in the employer's labor cost. They still face federal corporate income tax on the businesses that employ them, 21% on C corporations. They still pay property taxes on every business facility in the chain: the farm, the feed mill, the trucking depot, the packing plant, the grocery store. They still pay federal excise taxes on the fuel that powers the trucks and the equipment, plus various business license fees and regulatory taxes. Missouri's top state income tax rate is 4.7%. It only kicks in on income above about $9,200. For most workers in the supply chain, the effective state income tax rate on the marginal dollar is somewhere between 3 and 4%. Compared to all the other taxes flowing through that supply chain, state personal income tax is a small slice of the embedded burden. It's not the whole thing. So what does this mean for the ham? Eliminating state personal income tax doesn't unwind all the hidden tax in the price. It removes a sliver. The federal taxes, payroll taxes, business taxes, and property taxes that make up the larger portion of the embedded tax burden continue exactly as before. The ham still has most of those taxes baked into it. Number 2. The sales tax doesn't replace the income tax. It gets added on top. The original argument treats the swap as conserved. Hidden income tax in the ham gets replaced by visible consumption tax at the register. Same money, different mechanism. That isn't what HJR 173 actually does. The amendment doesn't remove the existing sales tax. It keeps the current 4.225% state rate, plus the average 4.22% local rate. And it gives the legislature the constitutional authority to add new sales tax revenue on top of the existing structure. The math we worked out in our main HJR 173 analysis shows that even in the most optimistic scenario for proponents, the combined state and local sales tax rate ends up higher than today, not the same. So what actually happens to the price of that pound of ham? Walk through it with us, line by line. Under current law, federal income tax is embedded in the price through the supply chain. Under HJR 173, federal income tax is still embedded in the price, exactly the same. Under current law, federal payroll taxes are embedded in the price. Under HJR 173, federal payroll taxes are still embedded in the price, exactly the same. Under current law, federal corporate income tax is embedded in the price. Under HJR 173, federal corporate income tax is still embedded in the price, exactly the same. Under current law, property taxes on the businesses in the chain are embedded in the price. Under HJR 173, property taxes are still embedded in the price, exactly the same. Under current law, Missouri state personal income tax flows through the supply chain in a small portion. Under HJR 173, that small portion eventually goes away. Under current law, sales tax at the register is about 8.4% combined, with a reduced rate on groceries. Under HJR 173, the combined rate could be higher, possibly without the reduced rate for groceries. And here's the new line that doesn't exist today. Under current law, there's no sales tax on most business-to-business services. Under HJR 173, those services could be taxed, and that tax gets embedded in the price. So the honest accounting of HJR 173 isn't visible tax replaces hidden tax, it's a small slice of the hidden tax goes away, state personal income tax. The larger hidden taxes stay alone, federal income tax, payroll taxes, corporate taxes, property taxes. And a new visible tax gets added on top, at potentially higher combined rates than today. Number 3. Businesses don't pass tax savings through dollar for dollar. The argument implies that if state income tax is eliminated, the price of the ham will drop by the embedded amount, that consumers will see in lower prices what's no longer being paid in income tax. But that's not how pricing actually works. When business costs decrease, whether through tax cuts, lower input costs, or efficiency gains, empirical research shows the savings get distributed across multiple destinations. Businesses can use them for higher profits, higher wages, capital investment, debt reduction, or lower prices. Lower prices is typically the smallest share of where cost savings go, and it usually takes time to materialize even when it does happen. Pricing is set by what the market will bear, not by a precise accounting of input costs. If the price of ham is currently set at what consumers will pay, removing a small portion of input cost doesn't automatically reduce that price. Businesses pocket some of the savings, share some with workers, invest some, and may pass a small portion through to consumers, eventually. Meanwhile, the new sales tax at the register is immediate, transparent, and one-to-one. The 6 to 8 cents, or considerably more, depending on which scenario plays out, gets added to your purchase the day the law takes effect. So what does this mean for the ham? The hidden tax savings, if they materialize for consumers at all, arrive slowly and partially. The new visible tax arrives immediately and fully. The trade is not symmetric. Number 4. Tax cascading adds more hidden tax, not less. Here's where the argument's own logic turns against it. When you tax services that businesses buy from each other, the tax gets embedded in those services. That embedded tax then gets embedded in the next product, and then it gets taxed again at the register. Economists call this tax pyramiding, or cascading. It's the reason most public finance literature recommends exempting business-to-business services from consumption tax bases. Walk through the original argument's supply chain again, but this time apply HJR 173's expanded sales tax to the services those businesses buy. The hog farmer hires a veterinarian. Under expansion, the vet's services are taxed. That tax goes into the cost of producing the hogs. The hog farmer hires an accountant. Under expansion, that's taxed too, adds to the cost. The trucking company pays for equipment repair. Taxed. Cost goes up. The packing plant uses HR services, lab testing, refrigeration maintenance. All potentially taxed. All costs up. The grocery store pays for IT services, security, cleaning, accountants. Taxed. Adds to overhead. Every one of those new taxes gets embedded in the price of the ham. By the time the ham reaches your shelf, it is accumulated tax not just at every income earning step, which still happens, but also at every service purchasing step. And then it gets taxed again at the register. The amendment doesn't prohibit taxing business-to-business services. In fact, the broad base expansion that supporters acknowledge is needed to keep the rate near 6% almost certainly requires reaching into B2B services to make the math work. So what does this mean for the ham? The original argument says income tax in the supply chain is in the ham. Under HJR 173, that doesn't go away, and a new layer of embedded tax gets added to it through cascading. The ham ends up with more hidden tax in its price than it has today, plus a higher visible tax at the register. Number 5. The ham example picks the best case for the argument. There's one more thing worth noticing about the framing. The argument uses ham, food, as the example. That's a sympathetic choice for the argument, because Missouri currently taxes groceries at a reduced rate, 1.225% for state, instead of 4.225%, with local taxes still applying on top. So the visible sales tax on a pound of ham at the register today is genuinely small. Adding a few more cents looks modest by comparison. But what about the things HJR 173 would actually have to start taxing to make the math work? The amendment authorizes the legislature to expand the sales tax base to services not currently taxed. Run through the same exercise with examples that aren't taxed today at all. Your monthly rent. There's no sales tax on rent today. Under broad expansion, taxed at potentially 9% combined or more. On a $1,200 rent payment, that's $108 per month, $1,296 per year. A doctor's visit. There's no sales tax on healthcare services today. Under broad expansion, taxed. On a $200 office visit, that's $18 added. Your child's daycare. There's no sales tax on daycare today. Under broad expansion, potentially taxed. On a $1,000 monthly daycare bill, that's $90 per month, over $1,000 per year. Hiring a real estate agent, closing on a house. There's no sales tax on those services today. Under broad expansion, taxed. Legal services, accounting services, other professional services, mostly untaxed today. Under broad expansion, taxed. For these categories, the original argument's logic falls apart entirely. There's no embedded, hidden income tax being made visible. These services were never subject to a state-level transaction tax in the first place. HJR 173 isn't unveiling a hidden tax on rent, healthcare, or daycare. It's creating a brand new tax on them. The ham framing works as rhetoric because food has a small visible tax to begin with, and a relatively transparent supply chain. But Missourians don't only buy ham. They pay rent, see doctors, send kids to daycare, hire professionals, and use services every day that have no current sales tax. Under HJR 173, those bills would carry a new tax that didn't exist before, with no offsetting hidden tax being unveiled. Let's pull these 5 points together and walk through the same pound of ham one more time. This time, honestly. Under current law, the ham carries embedded federal income tax, federal payroll taxes, federal corporate tax, property taxes, and a small slice of state personal income tax from the supply chain. At the register, you pay a reduced sales tax on groceries, currently around 5.45% combined. Under HJR 173, the ham carries the same embedded federal income tax, the same federal payroll taxes, the same federal corporate tax, the same property taxes, plus possibly new embedded sales taxes from services purchased throughout the supply chain. At the register, you pay a sales tax that may be higher than today, depending on the rate and base scenario, possibly without the reduced rate for groceries that exists today. The state personal income tax sliver is gone. Everything else continues. Plus, new things get added. That isn't the simpler tax structure the argument promises. It's the same hidden tax burden minus a small slice, plus a higher visible tax, plus potentially new hidden taxes from cascading. The pound of ham doesn't get cheaper. The tax structure doesn't get more honest. It gets more expensive and more complicated, while a small piece of state-level income tax goes away. Now let's address the closing line of the original argument. The consumption tax is honest, the income tax is hidden, and you're paying it whether you know it or not. Visibility of taxation is a legitimate value. Voters arguably should be able to see what they're paying. But that argument doesn't actually favor consumption taxes over income taxes. It favors all taxes being visible. And there's a more direct point worth making. A pay stub shows state income tax withholding clearly. It's right there, on the line item. Every Missourian who has ever filed a W-4 has seen the state income tax line. The hidden framing applies to corporate income taxes embedded in business prices through the supply chain, but most of that is federal corporate income tax, not state. HJR 173 doesn't touch the federal taxes that make up the bulk of the embedded burden. If hidden taxation is genuinely the problem, the conservative answer is to make all taxes visible. Tennessee, for example, requires line item disclosure of sales taxes on receipts above a certain amount. That's a real transparency reform. Adding a new visible tax while leaving the larger hidden ones in place isn't transparency reform. It's tax restructuring with a transparency-themed sales pitch. So here's the bottom line on the ham. The income tax is already in the ham argument has a kernel of economic truth, but it's wrapped around a misleading conclusion. Under HJR 173, the hidden income taxes don't go away. Only a small slice does, state personal income tax. Federal income taxes, payroll taxes, corporate taxes, and property taxes continue to flow through into prices exactly as they do today. A new, higher visible sales tax gets added on top, potentially with new embedded taxes from cascading through business-to-business services. In items that aren't taxed today, rent, healthcare, daycare, professional services, could face a new tax that didn't exist before. The honest description isn't consumption tax replaces hidden income tax, it's a new visible tax gets added on top of an existing tax burden that mostly stays in place, while a small portion of state-level income tax goes away over time. Voters deserve to evaluate HJR 173 on those actual terms, not on a rhetorical frame that obscures what the amendment actually does. Before we close, here's where Act for Missouri stands on this. We support eliminating Missouri's individual income tax. We've been clear about that in our broader work, and we believe many Missourians across the political spectrum could agree on that goal. The disagreement isn't about whether to eliminate the income tax, it's about how. HJR 173 eliminates the income tax through tax shifting, not actual tax reduction. A better path is available. The Senate's claimed $4.11 billion in budget cuts, combined with reasonable economic growth, covers most of the $8.51 billion in income tax revenue that needs replacement. With Republican supermajorities in both chambers and a Republican governor, this is the rare moment when elimination through spending discipline is actually achievable. That path doesn't require asking voters to authorize a constitutional framework whose specifics arrive later. It doesn't create new taxes on rent, healthcare, childcare, and services Missourians use every day. And it preserves something Missouri has that the other no-income tax states don't: a genuinely low cost of living. If you'd like to dig deeper, we have two resources you can find linked from this article. The first is our methodology document, a two-page PDF showing exactly how we calculated every figure in our HJR 173 analysis, with sources, assumptions, and step-by-step arithmetic. Free to download, share, and republish. The second is our main HJR 173 analysis, a comprehensive look at what the amendment does, who gains and who loses, what the evidence from similar experiments tells us, and what's buried in the legal fine print. Both are at act4mo.org. If you've heard the income tax is already in the ham argument shared by a friend, family member, or legislator, share this analysis in response. The economics deserves engagement on its own terms, not dismissal, and Missourians deserve to evaluate HJR 173 on what it actually does. Use the Legislator Lookup tool on our website to find your state senator and state representative. Tell them what you think about HJR 173, the rate math, and the path to income tax elimination Missouri is uniquely positioned to take. Ask them where they stand on the cuts and growth alternative. The November 2026 vote is approaching. The conversation between now and then will shape how Missourians understand the most consequential tax restructuring in state history. Your voice in that conversation matters. This has been Act for Missouri. Thank you for listening.